Hello, hello, hello. Hope everyone is all good. Very, very excited about this episode. It's with the fantastic Tim Bourne. I just want to say a huge thank you, Tim, for letting me come into your home and sit in your lovely conservatory and just have a good old-fashioned chat. And for me, it's the best podcast yet. I didn't know Tim. I got recommended by Dyson. We said you've got to speak to this bloke, and we got in contact. We kept trying to, try and sort a date out. And obviously, he's a busy man. Also, myself, I've got lots going on at the moment. We finally kind of figured out a date, and I rode to his, and and he welcomed me in and made me a brew, and we captured this, and it's just. Yeah, it's just I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to share it with you. I really hope you enjoy it. If you could like it, if you could share it, and especially if you could pass it on to any men in your life that you know who might be struggling a little bit at the moment. Tim's got some amazing opportunities that he's involved in, and obviously this is free content, so I'm sure any young man or old man or anyone. We're struggling at the moment. Obviously, if you're a female, of course, you can listen as well. But obviously, being two gentlemen, we're talking about, and we touch on it a little bit about these men's groups. And I'm going to share all the information and links to his like Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, so you can check that out as well. And yeah, I really hope you enjoy the podcast. Once again, thank you so much for everyone for listening, liking, and sharing. This is one of the coolest things that I've ever done, if not the coolest. And I really like it, so thanks for having me. Thanks for listening, and enjoy it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jack Johnson podcast. Thank you so much for all the lovely listeners who've been tuning in. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all the messages as well. I'm very excited today. I've got a guest on, and as you know on the podcast, I've been trying to get quite a few guests on for a while. This is something that I'm doing it all by myself. So again, trying to fit in my routine and diary, and then trying to get another person's kind of time as well. It's difficult, but at the same time, if persistence is the key, and if you keep working hard and you keep messaging people and eventually you'll get there. I truly believe that, and that's what's happened with this guest today. So I'll introduce him. It's Tim Bourne. Welcome on the podcast, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really wanted to meet you and talk to you about the stuff I'm doing, stuff I'm thinking around, about this men's work that I've been getting involved with for probably best part of 18 months. So it feels like a real calling to do this work, and that's why I want to speak to you about it and try and get a message out there.
No, exactly, and I think that's one of the big things as well, is, again, why I started the podcast. It was something I'd realised and noticed, that men, especially in my family and even the generation, like, we just don't talk, we don't really share as much as we should. And even though doing what I do, where I am quite out there and I put myself out there, I'm quite reserved. And that's why this podcast has been refreshing, because it's me. It's not a character. I'm not performing. This is about me being open and honest. And again, having someone like yourself on, it's really refreshing to me, because again, we don't know each other. We've literally just met. We've kind of been invited around to Tim's, and we're currently sat in his beautiful house now, overlooking a beautiful veg patch. And it was funny, because it's not too far from where I played football a while ago, so it was bringing memories back to me. But just thanks very much for coming on, mate, and thanks
no
for
the brew as well. No worries. This is my spot. I like to sit and when I get a chance, just to think about stuff. So the stuff I've been thinking about a lot recently is this men's work.
Yeah.
So what do I mean when I say men's work? It's when men come together with the intention of opening up, dropping the mask, supporting each other, getting clear on the kind of man they want to be, and then helping each other to become that. And I found this work about 18 months ago, at the back end of my marriage had come to an end, and I'd split up with my ex-wife and lost access, well, full-time access to my daughter. So it was a pretty devastating time. And I didn't really, although I had loads of mates and always have had, but it's times like that when you realise you really do need your friends.
Yeah.
And I had friends who were girls who I would typically go to open up and bear all. But I had a lot of male friends who had actually gone through the same thing, but we just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'd known these guys for 20 odd years, and somehow we didn't have the ability or the safety, didn't know how to create safety for each other to really open up. And actually, sometimes just break down. That's what I needed to do. And so I went away on a retreat, and that was the first time in my life that I think I'd properly broken down and allowed people to witness that.
Yeah.
And to see me in that broken state. Because so much of what I'd learned about what it was to be a man was you go into your cave and you sort it out yourself,
yeah,
if you can, and just wait for time to pass, and then get over it. You're trying to figure it out on your own, and it wasn't working, it wasn't happening. I really wanted the company of other men to talk to about what I'd gone through. Because I'd realised most of my life, all my relationships to that day, I'd been wearing a mask. The mask of the joker, the guy who was out partying, taking drugs, out all night. You know, 20 years of my life, that's what I did. And so I never would let another partner see me in my vulnerable, sensitive state. It'd always be, now I'm the joker, I'm the funny guy. I hated being around sadness.
Yeah.
My own sadness. I couldn't cope with my own sadness. And I used to put a mask on it. As I say, drink, drugs, partying. I'd let alone sit with someone else's sadness.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I had a partner or girlfriend or my wife, and if she was really sad about something, I couldn't cope with it, I hated it. Mm. So I was like, oh, come on, get over it. You know, let's see, things aren't that bad. Trying to look on the bright side. And years, 45 years, just running away from sadness. What I really wanted in life was a real deep connection with somebody, with a partner, with a woman. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know that the best way to do that is by being vulnerable. Because everything about what we're taught as men was don't be vulnerable. Don't show weakness. Just don't open up your heart.
Yeah.
It's too risky.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I went through school, you're probably the same. As soon as you get to senior school, or you know, you're age 11 plus, things start to change. And, you know, to reveal any kind of sensitivity is just like, what's the word I'm after? You'll just get hammered.
Yeah. Oh, very much so, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, schools in general, you know, it's such a tough time for any, you know, for male or female. But I think the thing for lads is, it is that kind of, you have got to be almost very macho, very kind of like, oh, you know, you've got to be part of the gang and you can't. Like, this is what I love about the podcast, because again, I find things about myself and say stuff that I can't remember. But I remember that I had an operation when I was really young, and I didn't tell anyone because I was worried that I'd make people think I'm weak or I wouldn't be able to play football.
Yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous when I think about it. And I told one person, and I know he's never told anyone. Right. Shout out to Kieran. But I remember it like yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? It's that you are brought up, and like I was very fortunate. My parents were fantastic, but that was something again. It was probably having a big brother as well. You don't want to be seen as vulnerable, or
yeah.
you can't really say that, or you can't do that. You've got to kind of just push it down, and it is. It's such a tough time anyway, because your body's changing all the time. You're meeting different people. You're learning different things every day. But as an environment, it can be quite toxic, can't it? Because like you say, it's almost like that pressure to be cool, or to not be. It was almost that, not be cool. It was almost like, don't cause any problems and you'll be fine. And that was the, when I say something so simple as talking about something, if you did, or you did open up, you'd be seen as weak. And
yeah,
it's sad really, because it's something that should be encouraged. And again, it takes years to develop that, doesn't it? And
yeah,
it shouldn't do. It's something from an early age you should be taught about and be told, no, it is okay to open up, it is okay to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's a safe and positive thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it's a healthy thing. It really is, especially for your well-being and your mental health, because that's what I found since doing this. It's been actually opening up and talking and having an audience. That's the crazy thing as well. Like some of them, like I said, I can't thank the listeners enough for some of the messages I get sometimes, because it's really hard putting yourself out there. I do it as a job, but I always have that kind of, like we were saying, that mask to hide behind. I always think, oh, well, that's a character, or that's something that I can. Again, I know there's all load of editing and there's load of costumes and there's load of, you know, loads of things that it's not me sometimes. I don't, even when I look at some of the stuff I've done, I think, I can't even think I've done that. But that's what happens in your life. You're constantly evolving, aren't you, and changing.
Yeah.
But something that isn't is your mental health, and something that you need to, if you're not feeling good and you're not feeling positive and not being able to talk and discuss it, that is an issue. That's something that you need to be open-minded to have a conversation. Again, it's took me a long time to do that, but
yeah,
I've started. It's obviously, you're having the same thing, obviously totally different, but it's a very similar thing of having that kind of switch in your head where you're like, oh, I should be doing this. And again, now you've got that kind of bit between your teeth where you're like, well, I'm going to make sure other people do it, and I want to spread the message, because it's something that is, I don't know, I used to find it where it'd be like, in your head, you'd be like, oh, I'm a showing off, or I'm a saying something. And then in reality, then you think, well, I'm not doing that. I'm just sharing my experiences. And that's showing the good and the bad. You know, that's the hardest thing to do. And that's, again, why I wanted to do this, because it's not edited. It's not got any fancy producers behind the glitz and glam. It's not. It's just, me recording this and talking. And it's amazing how many conversations have opened from that, let alone this one. And again, I think it's now it's important we use our voice and it's share. I think that's what it is, especially for men, because I think it's something that we get. Kind of think we've always got the answer, or we know somebody who has. And in reality, the strongest people I know are women. Like, to be perfectly honest, like I say, it's who I talk and confide in.
Yeah.
It'd be mostly kind of my female friends, and really, luckily, I've got a core group of mates who are kind of a chat with, and there's people who I can go to, unfortunately, but I know a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
That's something that I think we need to change that pattern and change the dynamic of them.
Yeah, I think you're right about the typically from my experience anyway in life is men will tend to go to the women folk, the women in their life to be vulnerable, if at all. What I've realised recently is through this men's work is just how little a lot of men trust each other to be able to be vulnerable. But when they do, and from my experience through this men's work, when they do open up and drop that mask, it's so powerful. It's so powerful, and realise that, do you know what, I've had, not realised it, but I've had a longing for it a lot of my life, to have that real deep connection with other men. And I'll share with you a couple of stories around my experience of this men's work. Because if you ask most men to go into a room, sit with 20 other blokes, and drop the mask and open up and talk about what's really going on, most men will just run a mile.
Yeah.
I just think that's the last place I want to be. But then if you ask them same men, like, well, you know, do you want a deeper connection in your life? Do you want... Are you being the kind of man you really want to be? Are you showing up in the world as fully as you could be? Chances are they'll be saying no. Some of them will be saying no. But it takes real courage. The story I want to share with you was part of what they do on these men's work, you do various exercises where you've got to... you're asked to go towards your shadow. So what do I mean by that? Usually... we've got a version of us that we want to present to the world. Right, this is my golden mask, if you like. So I want you to know that I'm a friendly guy, I'm a nice guy, that I'm good at my job, that I'm successful, all those things. But I've got a shadow part of me that I don't want people to see. So it's hidden away, it's suppressed, it's not acceptable. And it's usually, you notice when you... what I've learned is you notice your shadow when somebody else triggers it. What I mean by that is when we're working in these groups, we're asked to look around at the group of men, and you make eye contact with each of the men. And you notice that you're making judgments. Not of all these men, but a lot of them you're making judgments. Some of them you feel dead comfortable with. Some of them are just immediately you find your barriers are going up. And they call it like having an emotional charge within you. Feel it inside. It's like you start making these judgments. I don't like this guy, I don't trust this guy. And we were encouraged to walk towards these men and explain what it was that's going on for us. So I walk towards this man and say, look, I don't like being around you, I don't trust you. And I realise that he's reminding me of a part of myself.
Yeah.
That I'm suppressing or I'm not comfortable with. So I was making a judgment of him, and I was judging him to be a predator, you know, a predator who or a macho,
yeah.
Macho predator guy. I didn't like being around that. If I'm really honest with myself, though, that's in my shadow.
Yeah,
I've been like that.
Yeah.
In the past.
You see it, that's it, you see the attributes.
I've been like that. I've at times in my life, in my late 20s, early 30s, I've behaved like that. I've behaved really badly, and I carry a lot of shame around that. So it's interesting when you see someone, I've never met this guy before, and I was projecting all this stuff onto him. I don't like this guy. It was actually nothing about him. It was my stuff.
Yeah, it's your own personal
stuff and projecting onto him. So then we get talking a little bit, and we're encouraged to talk and find out what's really going on behind in your shadow. And then we're encouraged to do this work, and this is going to sound really out there and a bit mental and completely against what a lot of men will be comfortable with. So then he has the light bulb moment. He just says, look, what would it be like for you if I held you in some way? Again, at that point, a lot of men were probably like, what are you on about? And there was part of me that was like, whoa, what do you mean? This sounds well weird. Because touch between men is also a thing that I learned early in life. Unless you're beating each other up or giving each other a dead arm or a high five, a fist pump, something like that, then you're like, no, you just
not,
just don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're at the football or something and you know your team scored and you jump all over each other.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just not acceptable. A lot. Anyway, so my barriers went up, and he said, yeah, let's just go with it. And he said, okay, how would you like me to hold you? So we just experimented a bit, and then I'm demonstrating now. So he's taking the full weight of me from behind, holding. You know, often you
So you're like leaning forward back, trusting, catching them. Yeah.
Trusting, it's a bit like that. It took me ages though to fully, properly
to let yourself go.
Yeah. And then when I did more and more, and then he kind of brought his hand round and touched my forehead with it. And I can't tell you why this happened, but it was just a huge outpouring of grief. I just sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? I just went with it. And honestly, I didn't stop crying for about a good 5 minutes. And this guy's just holding me. He's just my full body weight is still holding me. And as I'm just crying, I'm getting these insights, profound insights to, this is what I'd want, this is what I always wanted from my dad.
Yeah.
For my dad to hold me in that way. And I had a dad who was very emotionally detached. Maybe he's typical of that generation, where he was just, he didn't see it as his job necessarily to connect with me emotionally, and certainly never physically. So I'm getting these huge insights of, my God, this is what I've never had from my dad. This is what I've always wanted. Then the other insight that I had never felt safe with another man. Because I've grown up to be competitive with other men, to be mistrusting. So to be held in this way, to feel safe enough to just sob in this way. And then I had the insight, oh my God, you know, I've never provided this level of safety for my friends. This emotional safety.
Yeah.
And there was me thinking, wondering why, you know, my time of need, when I broke relationship with my wife, why weren't people there for me? So a number of reasons, you know, I'd never asked for help. I'd never created safety for my other friends. Why should they necessarily create it for me? So all these insights were coming, and honestly, I was blown away by it. This experience. But then I felt really vulnerable afterwards.
Yeah.
Really vulnerable. I felt great shame about it. I was like, oh my God, what are they going to think? Are they going to think, first of all, are they going to think I'm weak in some way for this outpouring of grief? What does this mean for me, being held like by another man in this way? What does that mean? Has that got sexual ramifications for me? Yeah. It was like, all those fears that kick in from a young age as a lad, to be seen as weak or be seen as gay in some way. And I'm not saying that, by the way, I'm completely cool.
Of course, yeah, it's just, but again, their feelings. Yeah, of course.
Around as a young lad being seen as that. And so that's still obviously in me.
Yeah.
So all this stuff comes out, and it's, and then we do a big share as a group. And honestly, if you'd asked me 2 years ago whether I'd be doing something like that, I'd think you're nuts. Mm. But it was such a profound experience for me. And a healing experience for me. I thought, God, this is what the world needs more of, is men to be able to come together, work together, to trust each other. Mm. When they do, the world will become a much safer place.
Yeah.
When we can open up to this level. But my God, I felt ashamed about that afterwards, and so the men, you know, was kind of supporting each other with that feeling of having been really vulnerable, and the importance of the support after that. So this is, I think I want to make the point that this isn't therapy. It can be quite therapeutic, but it's not therapy. This is just men coming together to learn to open up.
Yeah.
When they do, it can just like get rid of all the bullshit.
Because there is, isn't there? There's so much, and I think that's something, again, that, like, again, thanks so much for sharing that, because it is hard. It's, you wouldn't believe the amount of people if I've asked to come on this, and, you know, they're like, yeah, and that's another thing, like you say, when you realise, or who your kind of real friends are, or who the people in your life who actually step up for you, because I'll get 100,000 of likes for a picture that of whatever, but it'd be interesting how many people I know listen to this, do you know what I mean, who really care. And it's not, again, it's not like, listen to me, listen to me, I know everything, but I know just off the back of this, it will, and again, this is why I wanted to do this, because I want to, again, bring that conversation out, bring that, because again, I've, everything you're saying is stuff I think and feel as well, where I know I've opened up to people, I've cried to people, and I didn't for a long time because, again, this thing of this macho kind of like, oh, I can't be vulnerable, I've got to be a man. Especially like similar with my dad, like, I remember sadly, you know, when he lost his dad not too long ago. That was one of the first times my dad had really opened up to me. And it was amazing. I remember, I think, my brother said it to me. He was just like, oh, like, Dad, give you a hug then. And it wasn't like, my dad's brilliant and he's been an amazing role model for me. But that's something I'd noticed where it was like, the affection side, it was very much my mother's job. And even then, my mum's not really like that either. Because my mum's, you know, tough upbringing, working class, very kind of, like, I never met her mother, but we've got, like, recordings of my grandmother. Apparently she was a very, you know, stern, tough up, loving, but that's the way we were brought up, you know. If you hurt yourself, you kind of, you know, you got on with it, you don't go to the doctors. You know, it was very much that kind of, you get on with it attitude, which I think, I'm very glad I've been brought up that way, because I think it's kind of gave me a bit of a better outlook on life, in the sense of you know that is life. Life's tough. You've got to get on with it. But I've noticed, kind of, as I get older, the love and the self love thing, and to actually be in a safe place to kind of open up. And again, it's happened a couple of times over the years where I've broke down, or where I've kind of, it has got too much, and I've kind of got to the point where I've just broke down and cried my eyes out, and that's through years of suppressing it and not talking, and not, you know, whether it was losing one of my close friends when we were younger, you know, losing my auntie Kath, you know, losing, I kind of got, learned about death early doors, you know, at a very young age, and instead of really talking about it and, you know, grieving, it kind of just became, that's happened now, I'm going to put that away in a box, and every now and then I might get it out of the box, but I'm probably not. I'm just going to keep that box and keep the lid shut. And it's only every now and then I've kind of opened up. And even on this, it's the first time I've really talked about it on this. But again, it's really important to. I think we need to, especially men, because I know we don't. We just don't. And I'm fortunate to have a brother who I can bring, or like close friends who I can talk to. But there's certain things that you just don't. We just don't, as men, we just don't talk. We talk about, and it probably is because of the stigma of, it is that kind of, it's seen as a weakness, and it just isn't. It's far from it. It's, if anything, I have a lot more respect for people who come out and say it. And this is probably why I imagine Dyson recommended you to talk, because I remember he said it to me, you know, he was like, you've got to get Tim on. He's like, I don't know Tim, but it's just like, I listen to him, and that's a big thing, listening. Yeah. Listening to other people, and especially listening to other men, and not straight away judging them. I always say it on this, but, you know, try not to judge people, because again, we do. We can't help it. It's just kind of what we're brainwashed to do. But if you can have that ability to take a step back and just actually listen to what someone's saying. And again, that's why with the podcast I'm doing this, there's no, you know, visuals really or anything like that. Eventually I will get to that point, but at the moment, I just kind of want to record and just listen to what's actually happening. And again, I know myself of what I say. I know I've got a voice now, and I've got a platform where people actually listen to me, which again baffles me sometimes, but again, I've got to accept that. And it's really important. I use my words carefully now, and that doesn't mean I'm scripted and I don't ever say a bad thing or anything like that, far from it. But what I've become a lot more aware of myself is I need to actually think about what I say and why I'm saying it, and why I'm coming across in a certain way. And I've become a lot healthier and happier since doing the podcast, because I'm sharing, because I'm letting all these kind of inhibitions out, whether it's stuff that I want to do, stuff that I've been doing. Again, topics like this that I want to talk about, and someone like yourself, again, you've got that passion. I can hear it in your voice, you know what I mean? It's that I believe what you're saying, because I know it's true. We don't know each other, we've just met today, but it's really important that we listen to other people, listen to other people's experiences, whether they're younger or older, because that's the only way we're going to learn. And I think life at the moment is so, and again, I'm one, because it's my job, but you know, being on Instagram and the social media side of it, and this next generation are coming through where they're being able to watch a lot of things, and straight away they're just kind of judging and seeing it kind of first hand and think, oh well, that's the way it is because someone's filmed that, and in reality it's not. It's not always the case. It's actually, you know, you've got to experience it yourself sometimes, or kind of, if a scenario happens where you can get a bit of advice from someone, you can kind of do that now. But it's the right advice, I think. I think that's the content I'm trying to create now is something that, again, well, it helps me, but it help other people, help that younger generation, especially younger males, where, I think that's a great point that you made about the. I'm very kind of. Like, I love a hug, mate. I always call that a cutch, because that's a Welsh thing. And again, that's something where I'll notice it with some males. It will just be like, oh no, I can't. It's that weird thing, like, I can't do that. And it's again, I've been brought up not to be like that, but to be kind of open and be like that. But it's so funny because, again, My dad was for a long time. He's very closed off, and even now, my dad still does it. He's like, make a joke of it when he hugs like my brother's girlfriend. It looks so awkward because you can see it on him. It's like, and I don't know what I'm doing. And it's not, again, I'm not sort of stubbing my dad out. He's a gentleman, my dad, and I've been so fortunate to be brought up by him. And that's not something. But again, it's just. That's, again, now as I'm older, I can look at and think, oh yeah, I didn't have that, and now I'm going to make, but like, now I make a point of doing it, so it's not awkward, and he probably hates it. I don't know what he thinks about it, but it is that, with other males, it is that, I don't know, it can be a bit, whereas with some of my best mates, like, we hug all the time, and it's lovely, it's nice having that feeling. It's something that, again, we should encourage people to do that. It's seen as almost like a, oh, why are you doing that? Or when someone is like that, like, oh, I'm a hugger. It's almost like, oh, you're a bit weird because you're a hugger. And in reality, it's like, they're the coolest people in the group, because it's like, they're just like being, it's safe. It's something that you can read all, like, studies and stuff like that, but it's true, it makes you feel.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a great thing to have.
A couple of things there on hugging. I can remember going to watch my nephew, so he's 18 now. But he would have been around age 11 when King started to turn around. We went to watch him play football. And his dad came as well, and he'd just won this tournament. So he was made up, and no, he hadn't just won. It was before the final, and he was just tired. And he went and gave his dad a hug. And then he got the piss taken out of him by all the other kids. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing hugging your dad for? And I thought, oh no, this is happening. You can see it happening, and it was such a shame, because it was obviously what he needed. He just needed a hug from his dad. But from that point, so I was age 11, up until very recently, about age 17, 18, he's all right now, but for about 6 years, it was awkward for him. And just on the subject of dads, this beautiful experience I've done over the last 18 months is record my dad's story through conversation, like we're doing, through a format called The Hero's Journey. And it by a guy called Joseph Campbell. And he captures, it's a way of capturing someone's story through life. So rather than it just be, I went to school, got a job, got married. He's asking questions like, what's been your biggest challenge in life? What's been the most difficult thing in your life? What's the thing you're most ashamed of in your life? Really difficult
tough
questions, but he's answered everything. Everything I've asked him, and he's answered really honestly. And as a result of it, we got talking a lot about my need for physical connection with him. And he's somebody who's got Asperger's as well, so he found that really difficult.
Yeah,
and so it all makes sense, you know, once you figure that out. Like, that's why he couldn't connect emotionally with us as a kid. But just recently, we had this hug when it finished, the final part of the story, and I captured it. We just had this big hug. And a lot of hugs, you'll go in and out within about 2 seconds.
Yeah, or
if you're like my brother, he'll squeeze you like a robot.
Yeah.
You're in a wrestling move, and you're out. But we just stayed really nice. We just held each other.
Yeah.
Really, really beautiful experience. Yeah, quite moved just thinking about it now. Yeah. You know, it's a rare thing. And in the work that I'm doing recently with the men's groups, you see that quite often now, and they don't bat an eyelid at it. But I wanted to go back to what you were saying there, if that's all right, about listening. Part of the often what they'll have in these men's groups, you'll have a round where you have it's like a talking stick round. I don't know if I remember the book or the film Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah. They had the conch.
Yeah.
And while you could only speak while you had the conch.
Yeah.
And that was the way we kept order.
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
Yeah. So they had the talking stick round. So every man's got 2-3 minutes to just talk about whatever's going on for them. It could be anything. And nobody interrupts in that time. And they're encouraged to, most men will arrive in their heads, but they're encouraged to drop down into the hearts, into the feelings, and like what's going on in your life. And that's where I really learned to fully listen to men and the power of that. No one's making any comment on it. You don't have to fix it for anybody. You're just being present to them. And when you've had a big round of that, then of 15 men that have shared, you think, flipping out, man, this is really powerful stuff. And you hear other men's stories and you say, that's me, that could be me walking or talking there. So a huge amount to be learned. See, in typical days gone by, tribal systems, you would have had men come together in circle and they would share about men's stuff, what was going on. And the women would come together and share about their stuff. And then certain rituals, you'd come together, and ceremonies, you'd come together. And I think we've lost that in today's society. Space for, I see more for women, women's groups, women's support networks. But there's a dearth of that for men. And I think we need it, desperately need it. If you think of all mental health problems, suicide,
it's
got to be a space for men to come together and learn from elders as well. So these groups will have, you got elders in it, you got younger people. You can really learn from the people who've gone through life.
Yeah.
And people earlier on in life. It's just the different generations coming together. It's powerful stuff, and I think you can probably hear in my voice, I'm passionate about getting this back into society and it not being a weird thing.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's breaking that taboo, isn't it? Especially with the younger generation, because, again, it's something... information is literally at their fingertips now. Like, I still remember not having a phone, and I was like the last generation where it was like phones were there, but I was still playing out, and you just kind of went off and did stuff. Whereas now it's just kind of like, oh right, I want to know something, bam, I can just type it in and it's done. But you miss that kind of adventure of figuring it out, and I think that's sometimes the key, isn't it? It's figuring stuff out, or you don't understand it, and you have got an issue. Sometimes you have to speak to someone older, and they'll drop knowledge on you. Or it's the same kind of with technology now, where an older person might not understand something, a younger person just be like, oh, it's dead easy, just da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And that's how you connect them. And it's that kind of like, my last guest was my gran. Mm. And it was amazing listening back to that, because every time I speak to her, one, she just cheers me up and makes me happy, but she's lived a life. She's been through generations now. Like, she's seen that. She's been through a war. She's seen all this technology come through, and it's there's still the same issues then that there were when she was a child, but then one of the big problems she was saying was, which I totally agree with, is with homelessness. And it was that thing where you kind of think, blooming heck, like, that is something that, again, we've kind of lost this thing in our society where it's like, we'll just talk about it and just think, right, well, this is a problem. Let's sort it out. Whereas now it just seems like, well, we might talk about it, or someone might bring it up, but then forget about it. And I think it's, again, it's the same with, especially for males, that, again, I've known a couple of people recently, or people, or friends who've lost friends, and most of the time it's the people who you think are the strongest, and that's what is scared them or made them feel a little bit, you know. Again, you can't. It's something that it's difficult. I get, you know, if I'm being totally honest, there's times where I've never, you know, got to the point where, like, I'm thinking, I've not thought that, but there's times where I thought, you know, I questioned it, and I thought, you know, kind of had that It's a Wonderful Life moment where, you know, what would the world be like if I wasn't here? And it's bloody deep thinking like that, and it's hard, but again, that's something that I think you have to ask yourself, and you need to realise, like, need to talk about this, because it's getting worse. It's becoming a real kind of issue in society, and there's a lot of people kind of, again, we're talking about it, but there's not many solutions. Whereas, again, something like the men's group is that for me is a clear positive structure that's in place that not many people probably know about, and. Again, I think you touched on a word that you mentioned. Courage is a massive.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the key words there, because it takes a lot to do that. It takes a lot to go somewhere that you don't really know, to be in a room full of strangers. Never mind a group full of men, where you think, blimmin' it. Again, you just have these preconceived ideas where I'm going to be judged. I'm going to think like this. I'm going to think like that. But in reality, we're all going through the same things, and it just talking about it does help massively. Like, I can't wait to listen back to this podcast already, because again, I know there'll be things straight away where I probably missed things that you said, or the things that I'm saying, which I know I'm trying to get out, but I can't. I'm just trying to be like, da, 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 da. But it's difficult, because it's so refreshing sitting in a room with someone again who we don't know, we've not met before. Just being very open and honest, it's a rarity. Especially even in my job, because most of the time you're just pretending, or you're on set for a few days or whatever, and it's amazing. Again, like, what I get to do is brilliant, and I love it. But sometimes I do think, like, wow, is this really what I'm here to do?
Yeah.
Whereas when I do this is when I think, you know, this is what I'm here to do.
Purpose. Yeah.
To actually open up a conversation and a bit of a dialogue and really kind of, again, break barriers down, push boundaries, open up the conversation. Again, I could be wrong. I don't know all the answers. I really don't. But what I do know is, if you don't talk about it, you're never going to find out the right answer. And again, a men's group might not be for everyone, but I guarantee you'll feel better afterwards than all the stuff you're feeling before it—the apprehension, the anxiety, the preconceived idea of being judged. Like I say, it's almost that. Again, it is that, and it doesn't happen often, but I've felt it when I have cried.
Yeah.
It's that overall, just like, it's just that weight off your shoulder of just like, God, why have I not been doing it? Like, why have I let this get to that point where I'm at breaking point?
Yeah,
and. I remember doing it to my mum and dad. I was really struggling. I was just in a bad place, in a bad way, and I was in a bit of a bad relationship. That was my fault, you know. I was blaming other people for a long time. And I remember my dad just had a word with me, and I proper broke down in front of him and my mum. And I never would have done that, because I would have thought, like, I can't do, you know, I might have done it in front of my mum, maybe, but definitely not my dad. And I did it in front of both of them, and I just said, like, I just want to come home. And they were just like, of course you can come home. Yeah. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You come home whenever you want. And it was just simple as, like, coming home and having a meal and just being home and being safe in a safe environment.
Yeah.
A house I'd grown up in. And being able to be vulnerable. But again, it's so difficult to do that because you build this pressure up in yourself and like even your parents you've known, you know, you still think they're judging you.
Yeah.
And they're not all they want is for you to be healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And that is it. Like, I genuinely feel like that's all they want. So and they know you better than anyone. And that's the thing, they know me. I can act and I can play that, like you were saying, I can put these masks on.
Yeah.
Or putting a mask on when people are like, he's always happy, he's great.
Yeah.
But they know the real me.
Yeah.
They can see the bullshit straight away.
Yeah.
And that's hard, and that's probably why I wasn't going to see him or speaking to him as much, because they'll call me out. And it's the same with some of my best friends. Like, I'm having a catch up next week with one of them and I can't wait because we don't get to see each other that often anymore. But it's because we're both living our lives and we're doing well, we're successful now.
Yeah.
Whereas when we used to see each other all the time, it's because we were both just like, we just weren't living, do you know what I mean? We were just, again, being comfortable and not really pushing ourselves. And I think to do anything of note, you've got to go through a bit of shit. You've got to kind of, I always say it's a setback, settle for a comeback, but you've got to have that. You've got to have that setback because that's what makes you, it makes you know your worth. It makes you realise, like, oh, this is the scenario, mate. I can't. Only I can get out of this. But am I being closed off? Am I looking out and seeking help? Am I looking up to be listening to other people?
Yeah.
Am I getting a bit of inspiration or motivation from other people? And I think that's, like, I do it all the time. Like, I, you know, whether it's, you know, if I have to do a workout, I have to do something that's something I know I need to do for more my mental health than my physical health.
Yeah.
Exercise is key for me.
Yeah.
You know, listening to music, listening to podcasts, reading, going for, like, I do a thing called Sunday strolls where I didn't go on one yesterday. And already now I feel like I've started the week a little bit slow. So that's something in my head where, like, right, this week, and even now, I'm like, to be honest, after this, I might go for a walk. And
yeah.
Just because I know that's what makes me tick.
Yeah.
And I need to do that for myself. And it's not for anyone else. It's not. You've got to have that self-love. But actually admitting that to yourself and understanding that is really difficult.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's a really tough, because again, we're living in these lives that are, you know, it's instant. You've got to have this and you've got to have that. And, you know, and again, it is difficult because life is tough. It really is. But I think we're at a point where, you know, we can learn so much, and I think the next kind of 10, 20 years are going to be huge because it will get to a point where machines will just do everything for us. It's already happening now.
Yeah.
So I think we have to realise, like, what can we do ourselves? And that's by helping each other.
I think community is going to be
a huge, massive, huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As people get more, the day that people get more disconnected from each other.
Yeah.
Can I tell you some of the things that you're talking about? You were talking about what's there in place for men.
Yeah. No, of course, please do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, 100%, mate.
Awesome. I just wanted to pick up on that in case someone's listening, thinking, yeah, what is that?
Because someone will. This is exactly it. I always try and put people onto stuff, but you will know.
This is speaking to people in some way, and next, there's probably three ways to think of it at the moment. The first way is written a book. Me and 11 other men have written a book. It's called Boys Do Cry. It's crossed out Don't Cry on the front cover. That's available on Amazon. Great book, just people speaking from the heart about their experience. All kinds of different stories, like some men are talking about growing up in a violent family. How they you know, being encouraged to fight by the dads and come to terms with that. Other men talking about drug addiction, porn addiction, depression. Some people just going through life thinking everything's fantastic, the job's been perfectly well, they've got everything they wanted, and then just had to realise they weren't happy. Mm. Great stories, really. And so that's the first thing, people can buy that book. The second thing is, I've talked about the men's group, there's Manchester Men's Group, which I'm a part of. If people want to connect with, if people want to, because I sort of co-lead that, people, what do? Do you give my email or something?
Yeah, I can do. So what I'll do is I'll put on in the bio, I can put you, put all your information back for the book.
Yeah.
The Facebook group.
Yeah.
So all that. So I'll make sure that's all kind of on the...
Good. Reach out. And it's like, you know, you don't have... one of the guys said to me the other day, I was telling him about it when I was talking on an open mic Spark storytelling night, talking about the book, and he said, I'd really like to come to that, but it feels like I've got to admit I've got a problem to come along. And that's the thing. It's not, you don't have to be having a breakdown. You don't, it's not therapy. It's just, the only thing you've got to admit to is saying, I want a deeper connection with other men.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's not it's breaking down that barrier of, oh, it's a weakness or it's something that it's... It's a positive thing for me. It's a huge, for someone to be so open and say, yeah, do you know what, I am lacking a bit. And again, this is for me. It's that thing of saying, I don't know the answers. I'm not kind of, you know, I've got a bit of an idea, and this is kind of what I'm thinking and feeling, but I don't know. This is how I know to kind of help. That's it. And I'm evolving as and get, you know, it's a day to day thing. I think that's the way you've got to kind of look at life. You can't just be, you know, one like, oh, I know everything, and or again the other way where you're so pessimistic, where you're like, I can't do it, and because that's detriment as well. You've got to be kind of that middle ground where you think, right, well, I'm going to take things with a bit of, you know, a bit of perspective, but you know, be open to learn something and to be kind of like, well, yeah, I do want to. And that's, again, that is having a deeper connection. That's a massive thing.
And that's admitting a need.
Yeah.
Because when you say it, I want a deeper connection with other men. First of all, it might sound weird. Second of all, I think, oh, I've got to sound really needy.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it, is we are.
Yeah.
And it's okay to admit that, I've got some needs for a deeper connection here.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach on the workshops I'm running now. It's called Authentic Relating for Men workshops. So they're one-day workshops, specifically designed to help men to connect with themselves more deeply, to connect with other men, but also then how to take that out into the world and transform their relationships, their lives, through being more authentic. But you can only do that when you admit to being vulnerable, when you are able to express and say what your needs are. So I mean, I count myself as such a blessed man now, because I'm in this amazing relationship with Susie. And she's done a lot. She's done a lot of work on herself as well. And has actually had a similar life to me, but in female form, wearing a mask of just wanting to be loved by men and doing whatever that means to be loved by men. And so we've both got a look at our past, and we're not good to ourselves. You know, these are drink, drugs taking, not being true to ourselves. And so we've come together and we've worked out this way of communicating and relating that is often from a really vulnerable place. And still now, you know, I've been 2.5 years together, still really hard to say, I don't know, you didn't meet my need for to be listened to. You know, and instead I'd communicate the frustration or the anger at not being heard. It still happens, but it's just, so we still have flare-ups, it's just afterwards we figure out, right, what's gone on there.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, I think that's the thing, and I think we can all take things on. Because I do that. I have flashbacks with previous relationships, even sometimes when it's, you know, people I don't really know, and I think, oh, why have I, you know, beat myself up about it, and or kind of put pressure on it, and in reality, it should have just been like, well, take a breath, think about it. Why was I thinking like that at the time? Was it because of this? Or can I be open and honest with that person and be like, do you know what, that was me. I was being a dickhead then. Or the other way where it's like, I needed a bit more from you there. And that, again, that's the hard thing, to say that to someone, because you don't know that. Like, I've had that with other people who said it to me, and I've took it the totally the wrong way and been like, well, fucking hell, it's not all about you.
Yeah.
But no, it is at times, because you have got to put yourself in that person's shoes sometimes. I think that's what we don't do. And it's funny, my friend, Michaela, she's doing a documentary about it at the moment, about empathy. And it's such a, to empathise with somebody's situation, I think that's something that we struggle with nowadays. I think whereas years gone by we did, because again, there was such a community, because you understood that, and it was kind of like, oh, we've got a similar kind of, you know, background, so I can kind of break it down. Whereas now, we seem to, the world's so much smaller, but if anything, we're, again, hiding behind certain things or certain kind of ideas, and it's like, no, we need to break them down, man, because that's only how we get a healthy and happy society, if we talk about the vulnerable times and the things that everyone thinks and feels. I think that's the kind of the important message. It's like, you're not the only one who thinks and feels like that, so don't be ashamed or feel bad about thinking like that. Because it could just be a thought, and sometimes getting it out there is just thinking, oh, absolutely. Or writing it down, that's a big thing I've been doing recently. I've been writing stuff down, and it's that's been an amazing thing to do, because when you read back, or when you listen back, and you just think, wow, I was really thinking something, I was feeling something, that emotion, and I've captured it, and I'm glad I've captured it, because I do feel like that sometimes, and it's good to feel like that. Yeah. It's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
And
it's good to feel, you're right. I mean, honestly, since these last 2 years or so, I've never felt so much in my life.
Yeah.
And so embracing all of it. So, you know, joy from being with my daughter, absolute joy in those moments. Sadness when I got a hand her back, you know, really learning to sit with that, whereas before I'd drop her off and I'd hand her back, and I can't tell you how excruciating that is to hand her back over the line, if you like. And I know she's safe, and I trust my ex-wife, and they're in a partnership. She's with someone else now, they're in a partnership, and I trust them. But it just goes against all your instincts to hand her back over. And so what I used to do was, I'd feel it. I feel like all constrained around my heart. I feel it physically, and I'd get in my car and I'd blast the music on and I'd drive and just try and block it out and forget about it. Instead, what I do now is I take a moment to, before I get in the car and before I take a breath, and I just breathe into that feeling. It's like, man, that's really, really hard. I hate having to do that, and it's sad and it's excruciating. I'll take a moment before blocking it out with sport, music, whatever it used to be, drink and drugs, but just sit with that sadness. And it passes.
Yeah.
It passes. Just sit with it. Sometimes I'll be up in the room on my own, and I'll look at the phone, look at pictures of my daughter, and think, yeah, it's really, really being sad. Really sad. But then it passes, and then maybe the joy returns. So I'm experiencing all emotions, and I tell you what, man, life has never felt so rich in my life. I'm so, life feels so full. Well, it's high and low.
Yeah.
It is high and low, and if you're going to fully be authentic in life and experience all that it's got to offer, you've got to go there with those feelings.
Yeah.
But man, I feel alive.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to sit with my own sadness. Everything about me is saying, no, no, no.
Yeah. Make it better. Make it better. Get away from it. Go for a run. Do something. Yeah. Stop it.
Well, that's it now. I think there's so many tools to get away from it now.
Yeah.
Whereas actually taking the time to understand your own body and your own mind and your own feelings and being like, no, I'm going to take a breath. And similar, that's something I've kind of learned to do in the sense of being like, right, I'm feeling and thinking this way. Just, again, don't shy away from it. Feel it and why I'm feeling and thinking that way and understand it and be like, right, I feel and think it because of this.
Yeah.
And you just become a hell of a lot more grateful for when you have the highs.
Yeah.
And because it is a debut and flop, like, that's life, isn't it? It's so funny. My mum's 60th recently and it was amazing because I got to see, you know, some friends and family. And I remember at a 50th, all I did was say hello to everyone, got pretty pissed and was on the dance floor the whole night, had a great night, loved it. You know, 10 years gone, and this time I made the effort to speak to everyone in the room. I went, sat down, actually had, you know, 15 to 20 minute conversation with people. And it probably is because I'm older, but it's also because I appreciate not being able to catch up with that family there and then, or being able to kind of, you know, let them, again, they just see a picture or a video and they're like, oh my God, you're doing really well. And it's great. And don't get me wrong, it's lovely, that feeling. But in reality, I want to kind of be like, well, I'm not doing that great because I'm still, you know, eating bloody beans on toast every night. Do you know what I mean? Or again, it's not, but again, that's the reality because I want people to know that. It's like, I'm so much happier now and healthier because not bothered about money or fame. Like, I've never really been about fame. I genuinely don't want to do that, but it goes hand in hand with what I'm trying to do. So that's something I've learned to deal with, where again, people just message you and be like, it's surreal sometimes, but again, that's part and parcel of it. So you have to acknowledge it and think, right? But being in that environment the other weekend where it was an old Irish club that I'd grown up in, seeing some friends and family I've not seen for years, I was so happy. And to just take that moment, I remember I just stood there at one point, just at the bar, and just had a little look round. I had a couple of drinks, but I didn't really get drunk because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to take it all in. And like that, my mum was dead happy, my dad was buzzing.
Yeah.
Like everyone was happy and healthy and just having a good time. And it was so nice because probably years ago, I would have been a bit like, oh, you know, like I say, just got pissed and been whatever. But to actually fully embrace the moment and, like I say, just take a moment to take it all in and just, breathe it in and just think, I'm so grateful to have a, you know, family and friends like this. And that's what's given me the kind of the ability to go and do what I do. That's what's important.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of my message can be to other people. It'll be that. It's like we're so quick to be negative nowadays, and it's like, you know, what we haven't got and what we, you know, what we need, and it's like we've got everything there. We've already got that. Be grateful for what you have, and embrace what you have, because you'll never know when that'll go or when, you know, what's going to come, and that's amazing in itself. But to be present in that moment, just to be like, I'm very, very grateful. And I do that now more than ever. And it's something I've learned and I've kind of promised myself this year, just to be a bit more, again, capture things on video, footage, especially with the podcast. And that, again, that's why I eventually want to record it, because I do what I see, because this would be perfect, but this is perfect at the moment for what it is right now. It's like, this is it. And hopefully I will be able to bring visuals onto it, because I know that will help other people a bit, because some people visually like to, you know, kind of put a name to a face or whatever, or kind of just like looking. But for me, what I like is the fact with this, everyone will be either in the headphones or listen to it while they're doing something. And again, listening, and that's something that is important, and to use your voice. And I encourage other people to do that now, because it's so easy to do it now. we've got the technology in place now to solve all these issues.
Yeah.
It's just we need to do it, and we need to stop messing around and doing other things that are just meaningless and don't actually, you know, they just don't matter. It's like we're sat now, we're looking out on an amazing kind of allotment. And that, to me, that's something I've known I've always wanted to do. Because
yeah.
It's something that I'd love to produce my own stuff.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like, I'll just go to the supermarket and just do it because it's easy. Because that's the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And we've got that thing now where I've seen it with other people where they grow their own stuff, and when they, you know, whether it's a tomato plant or, you know, simple kind of like carrots or parsnips. When you create your own thing and you know, you work hard, and it's not just like you said, you notice other people popping out.
Yeah.
You would have been over there through Christmas.
Yeah.
All the kind of darker months when it's when you've got to put the hard work in.
Yeah.
That's kind of a perfect scenario for me. Because it's we using what you've got, which is Mother Nature. It's taking the time to really kind of watch it grow and put the time and effort in, the hard work that's behind the scenes that not many people see.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this amazing product at the end. Yeah,
we hope so.
Do you know what I mean?
It's that spring and summer, it'll all... Yeah, it is. Now's the time you're just digging, all the hard work, pruning, all that stuff.
Mm.
Not much to look at, but... Honestly, in those moments where I just spent, before you came, I spent about an hour just pruning this cherry tree and just being fully, not thinking about anything else, just being fully present about making the shape look good and, you know it'll grow fuller next time. And in that hour, nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That's my haven.
Yeah, but
it keeps me sane going out there.
When you said it before, I was I was very it sounds that because some people are like, what are you on about, like, surely you want like a flashy car or anything else, but I've said it for years to people, all I want is a bit of land to grow my own stuff on. Like, that's literally because it's something again I've always kind of grown up on.
Yeah,
it's just something again, we never did it. But I knew other people, like my granddad, he knew people had allotments, so he'd always kind of get his veg from there.
Yeah.
He'd never go to a supermarket for that. He'd always be like, I'm going, always get it, they'd give it him.
Yeah, they're always giving stuff away.
Just giving stuff away. It's just that community kind of, there's some carrots that you can have. And again, the taste is, it's 100 times better. It's just because you know that person has put time and effort, blood, sweat and tears into it. And again, sometimes it doesn't always, you know, the crop doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
But they still go back and do it, and again, I think surrounding yourself in Mother Nature, that's something I've really kind of noticed in myself. Like, that's when I'm the happiest.
Yeah,
when I'm in nature, and I'm just again, I'll release it before this one, but the one in Fletcher Moss is a park I go to a lot because it's just a safe place, isn't it? It's just somewhere that I always kind of. And that's where I started kind of the first Sunday stroll, the first kind of, it's what led to the podcast, because I knew I was in a tough place, in a bad way, and I was like, right, what makes me tick? And it's fresh air and being in that park, right? I'm going to have to record myself doing this. And I didn't want to do it, I was putting it off for ages, but I thought, no, you've got to do it because you need to see yourself and other people need to see you. And just watching it back and seeing yourself, and probably I have that luxury more than most. I get to watch stuff back of myself or see myself. And some people be like, God, you look great, or you look... And in reality, I'm just thinking, I look awful.
Right.
Or at that time, I was really down. Mm. And stuff that, again, only I or a few people will know. Like, I remember my mate once saw me, and he was like, you all right? Because he knew I was... being not fake, I just wasn't being myself.
Yeah.
But I knew I had to do that. That was something I knew I had to capture, because I just had to put myself out there, because that's the only way you learn sometimes, and by putting yourself in vulnerable scenarios. And it's led to this, which is yeah. One of the best things I've ever done. Like, truly, like, this is what I'm most proud of at the moment, because it's real, it's raw, it's, and I know it's helping people, and that's something for me is like, that's truly what I want to, do. And I think for a long time, for me to say that, it's been difficult, because again, I'm already thinking people are going to be, who's going to listen to you? Why should we listen to you? In reality, everyone's been like, hey, that's amazing, like, we do listen to you. And you just think, wow, I have actually got a bit about me to do it now. And it's like, got that confidence, and it's that self-belief to do it.
Yeah.
And for years, I suppressed that and pushed it down, or did other things that I thought I was doing the right path. And in reality, it's like, no, I'm just doing stuff for other people, because that's the game, and you've got to play the game. And in reality, it's like, you've got to do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And since I've been doing that, and it probably has been a similar time, kind of in the, 2 years, it's, and again, I've not figured it all out, far from it, but I'm starting to pick up triggers, what makes me tick, and stuff like this definitely does, having an open, honest conversation with someone, and being able to listen and think, oh, right, there is weird and wonderful things that we can do, and they're out there. And you've just got to kind of admit it to yourself first. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the big one, like you say, kind of take a step back and think, yeah, I do, it's not I need help or I need, it's just having that want to learn and want to kind of, to be vulnerable and want to put yourself out there. It's again, it's so difficult and there's no right or wrong answer. But that, to me, being self-aware is a huge kind of goal of mine this year, is to be a lot more self-aware. I'd recommend it to other people as well, to actually think, like, write down what you want to do, write down what you want to stop doing.
Yeah.
And just, that's a simple way of doing it. Then go on to other things, like you said, like, which, start reading books, start kind of, because it is out there now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's not like, there's no, if anything, there's so many, you need to narrow them down a little bit. Yeah.
But you sound like you've got a real sense of purpose.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what it is.
And that's really, really motivating. I know what that's like, because I feel like that at the moment. And I'm getting this strange experience where I'm some days, sometimes weeks on end, like the end of last year, I was absolutely full on, burning bright, felt strong, felt on mission, that this is what I'm meant to be doing in the world. I was going out, speaking publicly about it. And then, after Christmas, just kind of recoiling a bit, and these kind of what you said there is like, God, does anyone give a shit anyway? Like, what? Does anyone give a shit about this? Or does who am I?
What gives me the right?
Why should they listen to me anyway? And that's an old pattern of mine that's many people have got. And so you recoil.
Yeah.
And it's this constant, no, come on, get back into your, what I'd call, back into your king. The psychology I've been learning a lot recently about, you know, Carl Jung, psychologist.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of work on exploring the masculine archetype and what it means to be a man, and these four energies. So the four are the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. So the king is very much about knowing what your purpose is, what you're here to do. You sound like you're on it, and I'm on it, but staying in that king, and knowing that when you do step into your power, into your strength, people will chuck stones, and I'm really learning, and they have as well, and I've experienced that, and especially if you're on social media as well, is people can't wait to have a pop at you.
Yeah.
So there's that king part of me, which I'm just learning how to be, really. There's the warrior, which is what a lot of men grow up thinking what it is to be a man, is be the warrior, be the tough guy. And what I've learned about the warrior is, it's about boundaries. Be clear what your boundaries. So what's a yes, what's a no? What will you allow people to get away with around you? What won't you? And I was passive in life. A lot of my life I was passive in arguments. I was so crap in arguments. I never learned how to argue properly. I was so afraid of them that I just was passive. I'd say, yeah, whatever. Whatever for an easy life. So I had no idea how to put a boundary in place and say, no, I'm not okay with that. I've just been learning that in the last 2 years, and that's transformed my relationship with my ex-wife. Yeah. To be clear on what I was okay and not okay with in terms of a daughter and having access to her. Mm. Well, so King, Warrior, Magician. So the magician is understanding the mind, how the mind works, and that's what you spent a lot of time doing, and I have as well. And then the lover is that gentleness and the vulnerability. Mm. So I've been learning about how to bring all that together. And the most recent thing has been that key. There's so much about your own limiting beliefs will say, don't do it, it's too hard, no one gives a shit. Just take the easy route. And what you're doing and what I'm doing is I think, courageous work.
Yeah,
and it's not easy work because it's, well, if you're anything like me, you there's loads of self-doubt that creeps in.
Oh, 100%. Constantly. I have that, you know, where people, just because of what I do, oh, you're the most confident person in the world. And, like, far from it. It's an act most of the time. Right. Like, and the people who really know me,
They
know I'm not like that. Like, I always used to say it as a joke, but it's so true, because I'd be like, I don't like having my picture taken. I genuinely didn't. Like, I don't. I'm not a... And at the weekend, we had to have loads of pictures because it was a family thing. And now I think of it because it's work. I'm thinking, oh, it's like work. But now it was that thing where you can see it in my face, like I'm happy. And it's because I've let that ego go and let that thing go of like, well, I don't, you know, I'm not, someone's capturing this moment because it's a great moment. Don't feel like, oh, they're capturing this moment because everyone's going to be looking at you. Again, it's just that. It's that self-doubt, it's that, you know, you can be your own worst enemy sometimes. And for me, it's very difficult because I do beat myself up sometimes. That, again, I've had to learn that and be like, well, no, you're doing all right. And I'm proud of myself, to admit I'm here. There's a couple of, you know, times where it's like, no, I'm an artist, that's what I do. Do different kind of, you know, before when you asked me, so what do you do? Because it is so difficult to explain what I do, because I don't know half the time, because, you know, one time I'm modelling, the next time I'll be acting in something. Last week I was a body double. You know, it's load of weird and wonderful things. Like, I've started writing a lot more now. I want to try and do some music this year. That's something I've set a goal of, because it's something I've always wanted to do. It was the same with the podcast. It was like, I wanted to do this for so, so long. Kind of just kept putting barriers up and again, a lot of it was my own personal kind of self-doubt, and it's a day-to-day thing. That doesn't just disappear. It doesn't just become, oh, right, I've done this now, so I'm dead confident. Because that's just not reality. It just doesn't happen like that. There's days I have where I think, what am I doing? Like, should I just go get a proper job? But then I realised, no, I'm proud of who I am and what I'm trying to do, and I know some people don't get that, and I need to stop worrying about what other people think and worry about myself. And that's advice I'd try and give to people, because I think we're so caught up in other people's lives now because of social media and stuff like that. You straight away you judge your own life, and you put it in a negative kind of way, and you just can't do that. You've got to just put it into perspective and think, no, I'm doing all right, actually. And it is okay to be confident and be proud of yourself. And I always used to say that. I remember my granddad used to say it to me. He'd always say, it's not arrogance, it's confidence. When in a certain kind of scenario. And I always say that now, because it's true. It's like, you can't let other people's judgment of you affect you. Because there's so many people against you anyway. Do you know what I mean? There's so many people who are fighting against you for you to fail. So if you don't believe in yourself, you're kind of fighting a losing battle. So you've got to find ways that make you tick and make you realise, like, I do deserve to be here. I do deserve to have a platform. And I can't, because sometimes I do it when I walk on set with people. And some of the people I've got to work with, you do, you can just go inside yourself and just think, what am I doing here? Like, genuinely, what am I doing here?
Right.
Like, I don't deserve to be here. And now I don't think like that, whereas I used to be a bit bravado and be like, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just be like, I'm just enjoying them, you know. Now it's like, enjoy the moment, appreciate it, talk to whoever's there, ask them, you know, speak to people on set or, you know, from people who've been in the industry for years. And you'll find a lot of the time the most open and honest people going. But we put them on this pedestal.
Yeah.
And it's the same with me. I've noticed it with people with me where I'm just like having a chat with the other night and it's like, oh, you're doing really well. And it was great and it was lovely. And I was just like, it's still me. I'm still the same person. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're going to have a dance in a minute. And they were just like, oh, right, okay. And it was nice because it was a bit, you could see them. They're like, oh, you haven't changed. And it's like, I'm not going to change. Like, I'm not. Like, that's something that I'm very fortunate to be, have my feet put on the ground because I've got great people around me.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'm very grateful for, that, unfortunately, and that's why I want to share it because I know not everyone has that. And I'm very grateful, and that's why I am where I am today. It's not because of, you know, I've spent loads of time, you know, money on this and that, and, it's core values that are kind of being lost a little bit, that's, you know, working hard. Putting the effort in, putting in the long hours, it doesn't just happen overnight. And even me getting to this point now, I said I wanted to do it for so long, but it took me a long time to do this, to just come to it. And again, I was a bit nervous before I come in, because it's that thing where you don't know where it's going to go. Kind of blew all my expectations out of the water. It's better than I ever thought it would be. And I think that's probably the message of trying share with people with new experiences or anything is you've got to try it, because it's all well and good being content and living in that bubble, but when that bubble bursts, you're out of that bubble then, and it's how you react to it. And if you're not used to being out of the bubble, you're going to struggle. And I think that's what happens a lot of the time, and I think with men especially, if something drastic will happen and we kind of just lose it. And it's happened to me. Like, I remember doing this film. I was all set to be on it. It was this my big break, you know. I'd been working for a long time, and it all just fell apart, and I fell apart, because it was just, I put all my eggs in one basket, and I totally just was living a life that wasn't me at all. It wasn't me in the slightest. Again, going out, doing this, doing that. You know, being the person who I'd always despised, and I've become that person. You just feel so, you feel so sad, you feel, you know, all the emotions you can kind of, and I got to know this is very self-indulgent, but again, this is just, it's being open and honest, and I'm so glad I can talk about it now, because, and I will continue to, because everyone sees the success and sees the good things, but they're the days that I remember and make me think that that's why I keep working hard and I don't ever take anyone for granted or anything like that, because that's what's got me to that point, and that's one of the biggest setbacks I've ever had, but then it's led to so many cool things, and I wouldn't be doing this now if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was a huge blow. Like, a lot of my family were worried about it. Like, they admitted it now, and they told me, they were like, we just thought you were going to give up. And they thought, like, that's the time, you need to give up now. You've had a good run. Whereas for me, it was like, oh, no, I'm just getting started. If anything, it gave me that kind of kick up the bum that I needed. And I think that's the best way of looking at it. It's almost like that negative thing happens to them, propel you into a positive place. But you need to be comfortable in that negative place and really think and feel about it, because it's happened for a reason, and it's happened because of other factors, of course, but majority of the time you put yourself in that scenario. So why did you do that? Why did it happen? And it happened because of this, that, and that. And there's certain things out of my control that I could never have come to terms with that. But at the time, I couldn't, I thought it was all me, I'd done this, I'd done that, it was my fault. you have got to take blame, be self-reflective, but again, there's certain things that you can't control. It's the world, you can't control everything. And I think once you let that go, you become a lot easier on yourself, you become a lot happier, because you're not putting that pressure on yourself. And I did for far too long, put too much pressure on myself. And it got to a point where I was depressed. I was just in a bad way. All the people who loved and cared about me, I put them in a bad place. And that's the last thing I wanted to do. In my head, it was like, I'm doing this so I can make their lives better. And like they always say to me, it's not about us, it's about you. But it's very hard to take that on board at the time and to think and feel it. Whereas, like I say now, I do it, you know, if something negative happens, I try and embrace it almost, because you need to feel that moment in time. I think, right, I don't want to, that's what I take now. I always think back to a specific moment and I think, I never want to feel like that again. So, what do I need to do to prevent it? And that's A, B, C, X, Y, and Z.
It's taking responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what I had to do. Like, what you said there about, how have I become this man that I think you said that despise?
Yeah,
I'm feeling that. How have I become this man? Yeah, in early 40s, who's, why hasn't it worked out for me? Why have, you know, this series of broken relationships? I remember my mum saying to me when I was 18, I was about to go off to uni in Manchester. I lived in Nottingham at the time, and I remember her saying, and she held my hands when she said it was like the last conversation I had before leaving home. Mm. And she held my hands and looked me right in the eye and said, you're a really, really sensitive man. Please don't lose that. And I was like, yeah, of course I won't, you know, don't worry about it. I'll be true to my heart and who I am. And then spent 25 years wearing a mask. Wearing that mask of not wanting to show that vulnerability. And I remember thinking that, how have I become this person that I don't like, that I've behaved in ways I'm ashamed of, that's led to this destructive pattern in relationships. And it's a really sobering thought, and it's hard to sit there in that space and think, oh, I don't really like what I've become. Not completely. I was happy with some parts of my life, but it's like, it was never meant to be like this.
Yeah.
And that's when I had to just spend time with it and think, well, I've created this.
Yeah.
Stop making people wrong. I've created this. This is my doing. And that was the biggest insight. That and learning to drop the mask, be vulnerable. And that's when I met Susie. And sometimes when I reflect on it, I think, oh, it's because I met Susie that I'm in such a good place. It's not, it's because I did the work on myself. Did the work, got help, broke down, enabled myself to speak from the heart. It's because of that, that's how come I was ready to meet someone like her. Oh man, it's just amazing. It's just an incredible relationship. The sort of relationship I always wanted, but I'd given up on.
Yeah.
Give up, I thought it's impossible. I didn't realise I was the one that had to do the work.
Yeah.
I was the one that had to drop the mask rather than it being about other people. Why not meeting the right girls? Yeah. So it's been a harsh lesson in life.
Mm.
And that's why I want to talk to people about it and then share it and encourage younger men and older men to come together. And my vision for all of this is that in, I don't know, 15, 20 years' time, another man would turn to another man and say, oh yeah, what men's group are you in? Oh, it's such a men's group. Oh, yeah, that's good, though, isn't it? And it not being any way weird. It's like, what men's circle are you in? Yeah, they're really good. Oh, try these guys out.
Yeah.
And somehow we've shifted the narrative on what it means to be a man. And the boys are growing up more emotionally in touch with themselves. But being boundaried as well. Clear on the boundaries, mastering things, mastering tools, mastering the brain. And being clear on the sense of purpose. When you get all that, then you've got really strong, powerful, empathic men who are serving the world and not destroying it and fucking it up. Because that's what we're witnessing.
Well, I think that's a big thing, isn't it? Where you see, and it is putting your holding your hands up, and it is. It's, I remember reading a quote. It always used to go past there, these churches on Fog Lane, and it was this church, and they'd always have these like billboards up of like, you know, kind of like scriptures or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it till the day I die. There was one, and it stuck with me. And it's history is his story. And I was just like, that's cool. And then now I think about it, and I'm just like, yeah, it is. And I think now it is, unfortunately, we have ruined the world, and it's becoming, and I could go on about, you know, again, this is where I want to get loads of different people from both genders, from all kind of walks of life, because it's understanding that, you know, at the moment, men are seen as kind of bosses and, you know, CEOs and stuff like that, and it's become a bit of a, like, that's the way you've got to be, and instead it shouldn't be that, it should be, anyone can do anything. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, whatever. And I think slowly but surely it's happening, but it only takes up things like this, and like I say, going into to talk to different men and to talk to different women as well, and being able to actually think like, oh, well, what is actually going on? Because I don't think many men would have said what you said there, in the sense of saying like, we have. And it's that acknowledgement of like, yeah, well, we have fucked up.
Yeah.
And we've got to hold our hands up and be a bit like, well, moving forward, how do we change that? And that changes by bringing more women into the workforce, equal pay, having the ability to empathise with different cultures, creeds. Again, I think when you're from Manchester, or when you've lived in Manchester, it is a very multi-ethnic society. I'm not saying it's perfect, it's not, but I've lived there all my life, and it's a very kind of open, creative culture. And when I go to other places around the world, it's not. And that's something I'm very proud of, being from it. And it's something that is a message that we need to spread, because it's something that, again, it's a difficult topic to bring up to certain people, because one, they'll have no kind of clue on it, in the sense of like, well, what does it mean to be a man? Yeah. Or to like, I'm very grateful for who I am, but I'm also very aware of the what I represent as well. At the end of the day, I'm a white male. And that is something that, again, is going to give me a kick up the ladder in certain aspects.
Yeah, yeah, it's a privilege.
100%, 100%, like I say, that white privilege that people will not admit. And it baffles me, because I, you know, again, this isn't me being like, it's not that at all. I've said it on the podcast, I need to stop doing this to justify it. It's not. I've got friends who are black, white, Asian, Hispanic, like, genuinely, all different religions, cultures, creeds, and that's because I've been brought up that way. My mum and dad, like, encouraged us with sport, but also just, you don't judge people. Like, they took us to Canal Street when we were younger, and we'd got, you know what I mean? They were very open with that, in the sense of being like, we, you know, this is it, and this is the, you know, this is the bit. And I know my dad's talked about that, because he's, from a minor town in Wales, do you know what I mean? It was a totally different scenario, totally different. So when he came up to Manchester, it was an eye-opener for him. And, it's just something that, being self-aware of what, you know, what I think and feel, but also what I stand for. And what I stand for is, I can't stand discrimination. I can't stand racism. And the only way we move forward is by talking about it, and like I say, by giving people the opportunity to talk, to explain the scenario, to break down these barriers, because unfortunately we are just brainwashed, and there's a certain, like, this idea of oh, this is bad because they're from another country or from another faith, and it's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Because when you actually speak to anyone, like I say, when I'm, hopefully Abdullah's going to come on, He's a fellow actor. I've not seen him for years, but we went to college together. We always got on, and it was never that. I don't know, where some people would have put that barrier up. But for us, it was never a... We're both from the same area, both working class background. And I think that's something that, being from a working class background, you have that ability where you
can't help it because it's that shitty community.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're colour, because you're all in the same boat. Like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, as you grow up, and some of the scenarios I remember walking on sunsets, and it's just white faces everywhere.
Yeah.
And in reality, you just think, well, this isn't, and I know maybe it's up to me to say stuff like this, because again, I've never really talked about this on the podcast, but again, I'm feeling very comfortable and confident sat with you, and because I can talk about it, because I've wanted to talk about it for years, but again, it's a subject that is hard to bring up to people, because they probably don't think about it that much, or they probably don't realise like how fortunate they are, and being self-aware and looking at your kind of own scenario and realising, like, hang on a minute, I'm really lucky or I'm really fortunate, maybe I should think about that and then think about how I can help other people. And that's, again, something that we kind of get lost from at the moment, because it's all about, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And it's, when you're building a community, you've got to be able to listen to everyone's, you know, opinions. And moving forward, that's how the world is only going to get better for me. It's not, we've been dictated to for so long.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. The rich get rich and the poor get poorer. Yeah. So it's like, right, moving forward, how do we sort this out? And it starts by a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And educating people.
Yeah. And trusting each other.
Yeah.
And that will happen when people start dropping the mask. Being vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'm dying for a loo now.
No, we'll call it now. To think that is absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we did 1:35.
Was it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, wicked.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoyed it.